This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show, another lovely Sunday here in Hawaii. Absolutely beautiful once again. I guess it's so predictable. But any bad day is a good day in Hawaii. Three little things I'd like to ask the listeners out there, and hope you can join in with me. One, what have you done for Hawaii lately? What will you do for Hawaii lately? And what are you now doing to make this place a better place and to keep it as good as it is as we found it? We do have an obligation, and you could see it as just paying rent, nothing more than that. We're tenants here, and we should really show our appreciations and get rid of the apathetic or the apathy in our thoughts, take control over our government, take control over the issues within our communities, and become a community once again. Right now, we're being managed by the political system. And I really, again, appreciate Pokanui's comments in his show. Once again, it shows there's a great need for sensitivity, and it's worth caring. At least we can do that. Gas prices are high, rent's high, mortgages are overdue, but we still can care for one another and take off some of the stress. Having said that, I'm just going to be contrary to that feeling for a moment and talk about today's subject. I thought we'd talk about the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And I want to give a different perspective from one who have worked in law enforcement, one who has worked in the conservation enforcement and resource management and environmental management and environmental law enforcement, both state, local, and internationally. What we find here in the state of Hawaii is a very sad, sad situation. The Department of Land and Natural Resources is probably amongst a few, but high-ranking, one of the most dysfunctional government agencies within the state. And you have to keep in mind, and I hope that you will listen carefully, and if you have any questions or want to join in or want to throw shoes at me or rocks at me, feel free. You can call in at 524-1080 at any time between here and 9 o'clock. But also, you can podcast the show an hour later about at carolcox.com. That's carolcox.com. Anyway, back to the DLNR. we realize that they have the engineering department, which responsible for the dams. So we've seen what happens with the dams on Kauai, for example. So that's one instance of poor function. We have the land division. We have ceded lands, and we have lands where cost and the payment back to the Hawaiian community is just not fairly done or can't be accurately monitored. We don't know how many lands are leased and the ceded lands, and all of that falls under the DLNR. We have the coastal zone management. People encroach on the beach. Signs are there. The public is prevented from entering the beaches. They are blocked off and allowed to build. We have the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. We have the Bureau of Conveyances. We have the Parks and Recreation, the Aquatics Division. We have the Natural Areas Reserve, Reserve Areas. We got the Department of Forestry and Wildlife. We got the Department of Boating and Recreation. We got the State Historical Preservation. And each one of these, if you were to take a moment and look and just Google any of these, and you will find practices that are within this agency, all under the banner of DLNR, headed by now Laura Thielen, the daughter of Cynthia Thielen. Now, recently, there's a case, I call it, I won't call it a case, that's dignifying it. There's a situation here with the super ferry where the people are accused of taking rocks. And they're taking these rocks from Maui and brought them in on the super ferry. And if you saw yesterday's paper or in the news or TV, they're talking stiff penalties for these people. Now, I'm not going to offer this in defense of these three gentlemen. But what I am going to do is try and draw a parallel. In law enforcement, there is a thing called discretion, and there is a letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And that's why we have human beings in these predicaments to, we put a gun and a badge and authorize them to enforce the law. So we don't put computers or robots out there, because there are situations where we need to be sensitive or understanding without jeopardizing the rights of people or what have you. This case with the rocks on the super ferry, the Maui, these men live here on Oahu, but it is horrendous what is occurring. And I say horrendous, it is a miscarriage of justice. Not by opinion, and I'm not being emotional, but I'd like to just share with you that incident occurred in August of 2007. Here, June 4th, I personally witnessed two men that were removing rocks in large quantities from the Jackass Ginger trail area at Nu'uanu Pali old road up there. They were removing these rocks from the streams, removing them from the trails, and bringing them back and placing them in the back of their pickup truck. I telephoned the DLNR, the law enforcement branch, DOCARE, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement, and filed a complaint and asked them to send an officer. Well, it took them some while to find an officer to send. And they never made it. The two gentlemen in the truck removing the rocks got in the truck and sped off because they knew that I was photographing them and was concerned. So I followed them, and they decide to take a lunch break. Now, meantime, DLNR is still not there. So I telephone DLNR once again, and they say they're trying to find someone to come and respond and find an officer. And I waited, and about 15, 20 minutes, fortunately, the men with the rocks pulled over and went to lunch at a delicatessen here in Nu'uanu. DLNR finally arrived, and through giving instructions or directions by me as they were trying to find them, one officer arrived. And this officer got out of his truck. Now, this is responding to a complaint, a violation. He gets out of his truck, no gun, which we spend lots of money on training them and buying guns, to spend taxpayers' dollars to buy guns and equip him and train him. And this was a law enforcement situation. This situation poses the same risk that a bank robber. You never know who you're going to be dealing with, or things could escalate or get worse. This officer finally contacted the two gentlemen who were in the delicatessen. And anyway, what took place was, in checking with DLNR or DoCare, the officer used his discretion and allowed the men to, quote, repatriate the rocks, basically to take the rocks back and place them along the trail and back in the streams. I doubt that happened to that degree, but just to why I'm concerned with this is that this is the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement. They are operating under law. They're guided by law and guided by policy. So what law allowed Laura Phelan and the Land Board and others to take and seize the truck of these three men on Maui aboard the Super Ferry, then ignore or allow the repatriation of the rocks back to the stream and to the trail? How do we have such great discretion, or how do we have such disparity in the discretion? And it begs the question, are we seeing justice here? Are we seeing enforcement? Or are we seeing a moment where the elitist in the environment who complains to Laura Phelan, who in turn takes it up and puts on her war bonnet and go after these people, while she has under her authority an officer who's operating under her policy, who in turn takes no legal action against the individuals here at the Nuuanu'apale? You don't see them in the newspaper. They gave them a warning, and I doubt even if there was a formal warning. So what that say is that it speaks to several concerns in law enforcement. You can be discriminatory for many reasons, and you can be disparate in many reasons when you enforce the law. But in this case, you have environmentalists, which I am closely associated with and share their concerns with the environment and the health and welfare of the environment, and I live and breathe and die concerns with the environment. But in this case, Phelan, it's clear, is pursuing this and have pursued this only because it is politically sensitive and it is politically motivated, and she's kowtowing to a chosen few within the community. I've learned since, and I haven't confirmed directly, but they're going to go before the board, or they are being charged, these people from the Maui incident aboard the Super Ferry. The Super Ferry came here, started operations without an environmental impact statement. Where were the concerns then with Laura Phelan? Why didn't she seize the vessel? Because we are talking about the rocks poses a threat, taking the rocks pose a threat to the environment. It was a destruction of the environment. The Super Ferry, and I know that it seems apples and oranges, but we're talking about an individual, a human being, who has the ability to use her discretion, who has the ability at her disposal, officers that carry guns and badges who are trained supposedly. And yet, we have three people here on this island being hung out to dry, and one of the board members, Tim Johns, is being quoted as what I describe as a threat. And I might be wrong, but to say to the attorney that, you know, if you go through this process, it could be more expensive. In other words, you might want to just settle out. And what I've also been informed is that Thielen has decided that only the chief of law enforcement on Maui will come and attend the meeting because she doesn't want to pay the airfare and what have you, and the expenses for the sighting officer, the officer who was surfing, and the field supervisor. So that suggests to me that she is still in this mode of let's be political and let us do this thing so that we can satisfy the environmentalists, we can show that we're on top of this one, and we do our job. All of that is so far from the truth. What is happening is that we have a situation here where the Department of Land and Natural Resources is shamefully operating in a manner that it lends itself to discrimination, it lends itself to favoritism, it lends itself to harshness. The punishment does not fit the crime in this situation. In the Waimanalo Gulch landfill, we have people that have identified rocks, and it's been publicly known. They're going to allow them to remove the rocks of cultural significance, and when they close the landfill, move them back. This is something that DLNR enforces. Why aren't we seeing a more aggressive stance and on the part of the DLNR to protect those? We have situations of Ivy. People are digging up Ivy and simply desecrating and disturbing them. Why aren't we seeing trucks, cars, and things of that nature seized from the developers? So I know it's a long stretch, it may sound, but having been in law enforcement, I can tell you, it is so easy for policy and for administrators to invite the practices of discrimination, the practices of we're the elitists and we know that what's good for the environment, so we will stick to that stance, and whatever it is that we want, we'll complain, stomp our feet, and we'll complain to the director or whomever, and she's going to do something. And that's one of those situations as we have it here. It is a shameful and disrespectful practice. And if you are out there, the listeners, I don't, again, advocate for anybody. I just try and share with you a different perspective. And if you are interested or would like to see justice come to this, and I've shared with you the situation at the new Wanopolic where rocks were being taken from the preservation areas, conservation areas, and they did nothing. Maybe have given them a warning, but with in the case of Mr. Charlie Bright, Mr. Chan, and the other gentleman, it's just unfair. It's unethical and unfathomable that Laura Thielen would lend herself to this. It is a circus, and it's wrong. But while we're talking about the DLNR, the Department of Conservation and Resources, speaking of the dysfunctionality, now these are men and women that entrusted in them to enforce the law. They have guns. They have badges. They ride around in trucks purchased by the government, identifying as Department of Land and Natural Resources Enforcement. But would you believe they don't even have sirens? So, in other words, this is an agency now tasked with, if there's a tsunami and coming. Now, don't poo-poo this and take it serious. There's an officer leaving his home, headed to the far reaches of Cayena Point. And he needs to get out there to alert, because this is state parks, state lands, and the natural area reserves area that people frequent. Beachgoers, swimmers, divers, surfers need to be warned. This officer gets in a truck, drives hurriedly at a speed because it's an emergency, has no emergency system, no sirens, no lights. So what is happening, Thielen, under her supervision, under her direction, is enabling or failing to equip these officers with the adequate equipment. Not just to protect the officer, but to protect the public. And if you're driving in a hurried manner, you need to have sirens. They're there to alert people, to warn people. And how is it that we would have this responsibility? You could have a situation where there is a fight or an attempted murder or a use of a gun at the pier, at the harbor. It is the DLNR's responsibility to respond. You could have a drunk boater or who's beating or committing some violent crime. It is the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE officer, who has to respond there. Yes, the Honolulu Police Department might respond. They would never not respond if it was some emergency. But the problem is DLNR has that responsibility. So what I've learned is that most of the situations is that if the Department of Land and Natural Resources DOCARE officer were to make arrest, they have to call the Honolulu Police Department. And some of these situations, the Honolulu Police Department is already taxed with low budget or shortage of manpower or distribution of manpower because of other projects. And so they are then called off taxing their limited resources to do the job of an agency that gets millions, that can't decide or determine the importance of public safety, officer safety, and being able to respond to these scenes. Another problem is, you take, for example, every holiday, and just recently here we had the 4th of July. Laura Thielen, Deborah Ward, the public relations person, you see them in the news, proclaiming and announcing that they are going to go out and they're going to patrol and the officers are going to be taking action and with the boating out at Sandbar, for example, looking for intoxicated boaters. There's a big problem with that. I've learned that through many interviews with some of the officers, they don't have the training. They haven't been certified to do breathalyzers. There were a few that went to the HPD training. But I also learned that that training was for land, so not for boats. And I've learned that the prosecutor refuses to accept these because in order to use a breathalyzer and what have you, you've got to have it calibrated and certified. These things are not in place within the DLNR. So there are some serious issues here with the chairwoman of the DLNR, or DOCARE head, who's making these claims but can't deliver and never intended to deliver. But if you'd hold on, I have a call, and it's Steve. Steve, good morning. Are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I had a question regarding you saying these vehicles don't have sirens and whatnot. Who are these vehicles that patrol the harbor? It says Harbor Patrol, they have lights on it, they have armed uniform officers, and it says Harbor Patrol, and we have Harbor Patrol boats that have officers on it who are armed. Are these not DLNR people?
Right. You said it in the first statement, Harbor Patrol. See, they're under the Department of Transportation.
So different, those do not belong to DLNR.
Apples and oranges, yeah.
What is DLNR's responsibility as far as police work concerned?
Well, if it's state park or state areas, the water, if there's boating involved, they have that obligation, that responsibility.
Well,
to enforce.
Isn't that responsibility of the Harbor Patrol?
Well, they have joint responsibility.
So they have the guns and the sirens and the lights on the boats, and so they also have the vehicles that are identified as Harbor Patrol with lights and uniformed and armed officers.
I'm missing your point. I've answered your question. Are you insisting that I'm wrong? We're talking about...
I'm saying that you want DLNR to have a similar type police force.
Okay. What I want is that if you're going to have enforcement officers to enforce the state laws and sometimes federal laws, you need to equip them. Don't give them the gun with no bullets. Don't give them the gun with bullets and no siren to arrive there in a safe and sound manner. It is about public safety. It is about responding and abating a situation that could get out of hand or protecting someone that is being attacked with a knife or what have you. So
what you're saying is we need another armed police force besides HPD, Harbor Patrol, DLNR, and on. So we need armed people here.
No, I think you have some other intentions. You're not listening. But go ahead and share your thoughts. I'm open to anything, but I'm not advocating to create a new agency or anything. So you must listen good and carefully. I'm saying an existing agency who already have those responsibilities is not properly trained, properly equipped. So go ahead and share me what it is that you sound like you have a point here, but
I thought we had enough agencies to take care of these problems without adding another bunch of people with guns.
Well, okay, I agree.
That's my question. So
well, it's, again, and the answer to your question is we're not advocating or saying create a new agency. We're saying that this agency, and listen carefully, this agency already exists, already by state law, is authorized and funded by the legislators to conduct themselves and serve as law enforcement people. And they don't have the proper equipment to do that. That's the only issue. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Steve raises some good points. And one of the things is, recently, the DLNR, Department of Conservation Resource Enforcement, the reason these issues come about and people like Steve have valid concerns, they didn't want to put any identification on their vehicles to identify them as officers. Now, the officers wish to, but it's the management that refused to. Because if you lay below the radar, then they believe that if you don't be on TV and make issues, you're then not going to make work for your supervisors. And that's the administrative belief. I have another call here. Go ahead, Cedric, are you there?
Yeah, Tom. This is about apple and oranges, but it's on the state public safety.
Uh-huh.
I received a letter from the public safety about medical marijuana.
And this is the state public safety, Department of Public Safety?
Yeah. Yeah, they released information to a news reporter.
Okay. What did they release?
The registration information.
Okay, so I saw a letter, and there was an article yesterday that there was they were advising different people who had who have legally medical marijuana prescribed to them, and they in turn advised the patients or whomever that there has been a mistake, and they accidentally released that information to a news reporter.
Yeah, that's right. But if there's any lawyers out there that listening that can contact you, or
well, yeah, if there are any lawyers out there that you are looking, is there someone looking to have representation in this because their rights, they feel their rights have been violated or a breach of privacy? Well, what I'll do is take your number off air, and if there is someone, I will, if there's a lawyer out there or anyone with legal advice that wish to call and share, please give us a call at 524-1080.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cobb. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. But again, there's another example. Here's an agency that has seem apparently made a mistake. And what are the consequences? We see that if you get caught with rocks in the back of your truck, you get your truck seized and you get hung out to dry and you get put in the newspaper, and no matter what good you've done, you don't mess with those rocks. And here's an agency, the State Department of Public Safety, stating that I do have a letter from one of those people who shared with us that, yes, in fact, it did happen. When this breach in confidentiality was discovered in June 27, 2008, immediate steps were taken by the department to investigate. But it doesn't say that they're going to prosecute or fire the managers who committed or was negligent in allowing this to happen in the first place. We're going to take a break here and get right back. This is the Carol Cox Show. Callers can call in at 524-1080.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We're talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and in particular the DOCARE, Department of Conservation and Resources Enforcement Division. Now, you've heard me in the earlier shows talk about the issues on fish and the closures and some of the enforcement activities that DLNR is proposing. These are the same people that will be enforcing the fish laws or bringing in the undersize or the size limits and what have you. And of all agencies, keep in mind, here in Hawaii, it is important that we take care of what we have in regards to the natural environment. But if you are dysfunctional, and you only get to head these agencies because of your parental standings, or if your mother's a representative, or you have a political connection into the party, or you kowtow to the environmental community who calls up and complains without, and then it is your responsibility as a chairwoman, chairperson, or whomever with those responsibilities to be equitable in the application of the law. Now, Maui is situated on a different location geographically. Honolulu, where the rocks occurred in Nuuanu, is completely different. But again, I have to reiterate, they are under the same management regime, the same management, the same policy. And especially after having taken legal action against Ralph Chan, Mr. Charlie Bright, and the other gentleman, to do that, and then to have a similar case, almost exacting, and then to just wave it off into the wind. That is ridiculous. It's there's no excuse for it, but it does speaks of the inability and to the management ability of the chairwoman here. And a while back we had a situation where a shark fin, fortunately the federal government, our congressmen and senators there have given a verbal agreement that they will pass the ban on shark finning to be imported in the U.S., shark fins to be imported. But I brought that, and we tried to do a story and tried to get the DLNR to speak up and have some positive comment. Instead, they hurried down to this location that had brought in 11 ton of shark fin, and they proclaim everything's fine because it was not against state law. Well, they could have said, we applaud our congressman for taking this action and pursuing an effort to protect sharks around the world, and especially in the Pacific. But instead, they went down to proclaim that everything was fine and consistent with law, and that was not the intent. It was just to share that to the public, with the public, that we have that practice occurring here while we thought that it was illegal, and this would have been an example just to convey to the public why that law was being implemented or being voted on or visited by the National Congress. Now, there's a net. Let me give you an example of dysfunctionality again. We had problems with gill nets, or have problems with gill nets. Ms. Thielen, she has Dan Polhumus. And if you try calling that gentleman who manages the aquatics division, unless you are of the elite community of researchers, you're not going to get a response. This gentleman simply has severed himself or placed himself in a role that he doesn't talk to people like myself or the general public. You have to be one of the elite researchers. And there's been some problems there. I have telephoned and asked for records, and I have been given the two-step shuffle in getting this information. But they implemented and supported this bill on gill nets and banning, with restrictions that you can't leave it, you have to have a buoy on it, and can't have it in but a certain time, can't use it in waters less than 25 feet or what have you. I may be wrong on the depth, but nonetheless, what they didn't see was that fishermen now are saying, we're not using the net as a set gill net. We're using it as a surround net, so basically closing both ends, and in turn, they're able to get around the law. This occurred because in this administration with Thielen, Polhumus, Dan Polhumus, you don't get communication. They don't talk to the law enforcement. They don't go outside and ask others, what is the best way, what loopholes can we avoid, and how can we better protect the environment here? They failed to do that. Now, if you as a citizen observe a violation, and I'm getting numerous calls from different officers within DoCare, and that's not to say all the officers are bad. It is to say that the upper management is dysfunctional and poorly understanding their role as resource managers. A lot of the officers are saying that, first to start off with, after 4 o'clock, no officer answers the phone. It goes to an answering service. The answering service really don't even know how to pronounce the Department of Conservation and Resource Enforcement's agency name or branch name. I've had them to say, well, you're calling Doe Carroll, Doe DuCare, or DLNR, on and on and on. But the bottom line is, you call in and they'll ask you in the past, is it an emergency? What constitutes an emergency? Well, we don't know. But if it's not a monk seal or turtle, then it really isn't an emergency. So if you were observing someone killing birds or using a net or other violations, or dumping water, polluted water, contaminants in the ground or in the water, that's not an emergency apparently. But they will in turn receive that message, And they contact, I'm told, the deputy chief, who sits there and screen and decide whether anyone will go out and respond to any of these calls. And he actually get paid extra to do this. But yet, these officers are on duty now, some of them, on duty up to 11 o'clock. But from 12 midnight, our natural resources are left to fend for themselves. So if you don't bite, if you're not a shark and you don't bite or run someone over, a poacher over, you're left to be on your own defenses and the resources. So any time between 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, and 8 in the morning, poachers have a clear access to our resources. You can log, you can net, you can go out and use bleach and poison fish. You can do anything you want to. And the chances of you being caught, because the Department of Land and Natural Resources don't care officers, just not on duty. And some of the things that distract from that, and I've spoken with former chairman Peter Young, there's a program, the marijuana eradication. And officers from the Department of Land and Natural Resources, Conservation Resources Enforcement, are barred or loaned or assigned to a marijuana program, eradication program, with the federal government. These officers do little or nothing for the environment. Now, Peter Young had offered, and others had offered, that these, while the benefit to the state agency, DOCARE or DLNR, is that while they're in a helicopter flying over looking for marijuana, when they see something, they can get that back to the DLNR or DOCARE, and they will go there. And that is so far from the truth, because, first of all, these situations, when they do find marijuana, the last thing they want to do is to broadcast it to anyone and have other officers going up there in the area to intervene, because it would jeopardize their case or their investigation of spotting marijuana and eradicating it and pulling it and what have you. So you can see the number of conflicts that exist here and how dysfunctional it is, and the willingness on the part of the chairperson to go to great lengths to shade or hide the fact that they're dysfunctional, that they're not spending the money in training these officers. The officers use a VHF radio, for example. They are left out in the dark. While HPD has the 800 megahertz, I think, the digital radio system, many times the Honolulu Police Department have to assist the Department of Land and Natural Resources officers in arrest. How are they communicating? Interestingly enough, they're communicating by cell phone, by personal cell phones that the officer has to buy himself or herself. Where is Thielen in this management, in this regime? This is wrong, folk, to put officers out in the dark of night, and with the increase of drug use, and you just never know who has come to Hawaii and sleeping on the beach while trying to evade arrest in another state, another island, or who has escaped from prison. And you're walking up there as the conservation officer, and you find yourself in a predicament. You have no phone in an area where it's not getting out. You have no radio that could communicate, and you don't have a dispatcher on that's listening to you at nighttime. I have a call from Matthew. Hello, Matthew. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. I'm doing well, thank you.
Alrighty. How are you doing today?
I'm enjoying your show this morning. I've got another comment on the, malfeasance of the DLNR. I've got a friend who works for the feral pig eradication program funded by the DLNR. And he puts out these snare traps to catch them way out in Peacock Flats. If you're familiar with the area.
Yeah, up top, Mokalea area.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so he sets out the traps near near Waialua, and then he'll grab the pigs. You know, they destroy some of them, but he's telling me how he'll take these pigs and he'll release them and he'll seed the area so that he can go and hunt for them later. You know, so he'll take a little baby pig or a couple of them, maybe a pregnant sow or something, as long as they're not too damaged by the snare, and then then he'll just release them.
And he's snaring them for whom? Is he doing this in an official capacity?
Oh, yeah, he's paid by the DLNR to do this.
I see. Well, you can, would you share his name off-air with me or on-air?
I'd rather not do that considering it's a personal relationship, but I just go to show you that there's very little oversight in a lot of the programs of the DLNR claims to espouse, but I think it's a lot of insight to what you're saying as well. I mean, it's just irresponsible for the state agency to be acting like this. No oversight, lack of enforcement. It seems like a real political and bureaucratic mess at that department.
That is very true, and it has been for some years, but, you know, we're told that we're selecting and appointing Laura Thielen because she has a greater understanding of the environment and has worked with the environmental community. We need someone to fix this and guide us and steer it, take the helm and do the right thing, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think Thielen is really a poor choice because she's so inexperienced and therefore she's indebted to everyone else who has been vetted there for so long. I guess she would have less pull than others, if it's to use a mafioso term, right?
Right, right. Yeah, well, hopefully the public out there, while we're at it, if you care to write Laura Thielen in support or against her or asking her to get motivated and do what's right, you can call her at 587-0400, or you can email her at dlnr@hawaii.gov. That's for if you want to offer her support and what have you, or you want to ask her to do the right thing. It's up to you, but please do something. We really need some help, don't you think so, Matt?
I think so. I've got an ethical question for you.
Okay.
Since your show is preceded by polkas, I'm sure you're familiar with the Hawaiian sovereignty movements and such. Do you think it's right from, say, a native standpoint to go and violate or poach, you know, illegally because it's cultural or natural for them to do so? Do you think that's a reasonable argument?
Well, I can tell you in other states there are recognition, federal recognition, and I think that is what the real argument is. It would bring closure to some of these debates. For me personally, I don't know the full extent of all the situations. I hear a lot of them. Do you think the native people can proclaim? I think the native people can ask whatever it is they feel like, and it is not my right to sit back and say, well, that's right or wrong, because there are greater issues, and I see when I see this case with Thielen and how they're operating. We wouldn't have these problems if it was managed right. You and I wouldn't have to ask these questions. Thielen, that is her responsibility, because they are calling her agency, and it is her responsibility to say yay or nay, or these are state lands or sovereign lands or what have you. So I've really not come to any opinion other than if Native people say that they have a right to something, then it is not my purpose or place to ask to what degree. I think they have a right. If they have a right to ask it, they have a right to earn it or own it. So I don't know, Matthew. I don't really have any opinion as far as that is concerned.
All right, well, maybe on a similar tangent. With the case of the rocks being taken by the super ferry, I think like 900 or some rocks, and you were speaking earlier about this guy's a new one who took them from the stream.
Right.
I like to go hiking. Sometimes I'll go into a conservation area I'll take a cutting of a plant, say an ohia. I'll take it home, I'll root it, and I'll grow it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, technically this is very much illegal, and, you know, if someone saw me coming down from the mountains with this rare native species in hand, you know, they could call me and have one of those friendly officers come and see me. But from an environmental standpoint, I'm propagating the species of this endangered plant, and I'm not really turning a profit from it other than, you know, personal enjoyment from the gardening and cultivation. So, I mean, ethically speaking, what do you think about a situation like that?
Well, okay, when you say ethically, I have a caution when we talk about ethics, because what are you starting with? Is the person doing it ethical right from the beginning? There are many issues you have to be concerned with, and that's not to say you're right or wrong. But if you take a cutting from a plant, and that plant is just so happened to be the one that is diseased, well, that plant has a polka or some rust on it. You then take that cutting and you transport that cutting, and you're doing a good deed, but then you're also taking that cutting and propagating it with those same diseases or problems or the rust or that threatens ohia, and you're now proliferating it or spreading it. That's not to say that's what happened in your case.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's not our place to go in and do these things, and the agency should in fact allow people like you to become part of their effort and sanction it if they think scientifically and that it's healthy and wise. But as far as when you say ethically, ethics to me is that when you have an agency head who seizes cars and trucks and put people in the newspaper and hang them out to dry, and you don't have that same policy to apply to other folks.
I think in that particular situation, you can't put too much blame on the DLNR, because there is a real public uproar over the Super Ferry just in the month prior to that, and there's
right.
Protests in Kauai. So really the media just latched on to this story because, you know, it's going to fly off the presses and people are going to start buying some papers or
right.
generating ad revenue from their website.
Right. Well, we're going to have to cut it short, but you call me next week. But let me say one thing about that. Irregardless if the TV, the media, or anybody catch hold of this and start to use it, it is Laura Thielen's responsibility to make a right decision and not be motivated politically, emotionally. And that's the thing. We need leaders who's going to get in and say, if you say I can do it and appoint me, then do it. If the media comes out with a story, don't be swayed by that. You should be doing things the right way, the righteous way, and the ethical way.
Oh, sure. That's the difference between politics and leadership.
Right.
I appreciate your show. I'll tune in next week.
Thank you. And anytime you got any questions, please feel free to call.
Thanks.
But again, folks, we need some real serious evaluation. We need our legislators. And I have a 12-page document here that I prepared to speak from and share with you. But again, to say that we're going to go out and arrest people driving boats while intoxicated and you don't have the training, you don't have the calibration certification. Even if you caught someone, you got to give them the test. The officers in the DLNR is not trained for that. Then what do you do with their vessel? Do you seize it? Well, all of these things come back to say and smacks in the face of Laura Thielen to say, stop telling us that you're doing something when you don't even have the ability to do it. So thank you again. This is the Carol Cox Show. You can get this again at podcast at carolcox.com. Aloha.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep 7, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the deep seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI, Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.